You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Morning, friends. Welcome to Riverside. My name is Keith. I'm one of the leaders around our church. And this morning, we're continuing on our journey through the book of Acts. And this morning's passage, we're going to look at some pretty ordinary people, okay? Some pretty average, everyday folks like you and me, average Sally, average Joe type people who end up making a huge difference with their lives. And I think today's passage is going to teach each of us how we're also, each one of us, able to respond to the work of God in all our lives and also do things that truly matter in the world. I love how a pastor named Warren Wiersbe puts it. This is what he says. In most churches, the congregation pays the pastor to preach, pays the pastor to win the lost and to build up the saved, while the church members function as cheerleaders, if they're enthusiastic or simply spectators. The converts are won, baptized, and given the right hand of fellowship, and then they join the other spectators. But how much faster our churches would grow and how much stronger and happier our church members would be if each one were discipling and mentoring another believer. And this is the responsibility of every believer, not just a small group who've been called to go. I think it's a beautiful reminder because we've been going through the book of Acts, reading verse by verse in the daily devotional, hitting some highlights here on Sunday morning. It's sometimes easy to read Acts and get a little overwhelmed with folks like the Apostle Paul, right? Oh, the Apostle Paul, who did amazing ministry. It's easy to read about the Apostle Paul and conclude things like, well, he must be a super Christian, right? I could never do stuff like that. I mean, leading up to today's passage, which is chapter 18, by the way, Paul's been traveling from town to town, helping scores of people get saved. He started new churches. He's seen people healed. He's been beat for his faith and yet delivered by earthquakes and then gone back out to preach again. And then he'll move to another city and start all over again after that. And sometimes I read these experiences of Paul, and I'm amazed. Dude did amazing things. I couldn't begin. I don't know where to start when I read things like that. Is it just me, or does the Apostle Paul seem like more of an outlier? Is it just me who sometimes thinks that? He seems like more of an outlier than the exception. He's more like the missionary who comes to church, right? The missionary who comes once a year and tells you their stories of their overseas journeys and the amazing things that are happening over there. And we're all in all the things that God's doing through them. And then they go back to the mission field, and we go back to ordinary life. It feels a lot like that. The missionary leaves, and we're left here thinking, well, that was nice, but I'm just a high school student, right? Well, that was nice, but I'm just a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad. Or that was nice, but I just work in a factory. I'm just part of an HVAC company. I could never do that kind of ministry that we see in the Bible or we heard from that missionary, which is why I love Acts 18. In Acts chapter 18, there's these two average, everyday, ordinary, down-to-earth town folk that I personally connect a lot with. Their names are Priscilla and Aquila, and they're mentioned at least four times in Scripture. And they had a vision for their lives, friends. They had a vision for life that was much bigger than church attendance, although I'm glad you're all here this morning, but their vision was much larger than church attendance, larger than trying to get a fully funded retirement fund, larger than maybe having nice kids to go to a nice college, although I'm glad I have a nice kid that's back from a nice college. Welcome back, Hunter, for the weekend. I mean, bigger than a nice home and a nice big screen TV, right? I mean, those are, so often we live for those kind of things, but the vision of Priscilla and Aquila was way different and impacted so many folks. And as I say that, it's already easy to go, oh, here we are again, another Book of Acts hero of the faith. No, this guy and this gal, they're ordinary. They're everyday kind of people. They're not superstars. They're your average Sally, your average Joe, and yet they have this shared quest to be on mission with Christ and to invest in the things of his kingdom. I think you're going to see that this morning. It's going to be, I hope, encouraging and powerful. And we'll see that beginning in the Acts chapter 18. So if you have your Bibles, open up there, Acts chapter 18. And before we read today's text, let's first pause. Let's acknowledge the presence of God is already in the room working among us. Let's ask him to open up our hearts and minds this morning. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring the encouragement that you do and the conviction that you do and the vision that you do. God, I pray that each one of us would know that this scripture is for us. But you have great things planned. Good things for us to do already planned, as Ephesians points out. So open our hearts and give us vision. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 18, we'll start in verse 1. After this, after all this amazing things we've seen in the book of Acts, Paul, the Apostle Paul, here's the Apostle Paul again. Oh, he's all over the place, isn't he? He leaves Athens and he goes to Corinth. So you kind of start off going, all right, here's another amazing journey by this super Christian. But, verse 2, there he meets a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. So Paul went to see Priscilla and Aquila, and because he was a tent maker, and they are tent makers, he stayed and he worked with them. So Paul comes to town, the great preacher Paul, and he meets these two town folk, right, who were tent makers by trade. And by the way, tent makers could also be read from the original language as like leather workers by trade. They work on leather with their jobs. They spend their days working with their hands, you know, making leather and then turning leather into things like tents. I believe if this were happening today, it would probably read something like this. Priscilla and Aquila worked in a small machine shop. Maybe they now own the little shop, but for the first 15 years, they simply worked on a punch press or a lathe, starting out on third shift, working really hard for a decent wage at best. I really think that's what it would read in today's language. In other words, Priscilla and Aquila are blue-collar kind of people, working their jobs, living their life, and then the Apostle Paul comes to town. And I think it's important. This is how I read the text. I might be reading into it, but it's what I picture. They give him a job. Actually, I think they give him part of their business. You see, Paul's new to town. Priscilla and Aquila have already built up a business of working with leather. They've built up a client base to work with this leather-making business. And so I think it's fair to conclude that when it says Paul stayed with them and worked with them, I think it's fair to conclude that they gave Paul some of their work. Maybe even some of their client list. Some of their business. You think about this. You're a small business owner. You're barely making it. You're making some money, but you're not rolling in it. You're doing okay. And then a new guy comes to town. God nudges you to be generous towards him and let him work with you. Not for you. Work with you. Meaning he'll probably get a cut of the profits. He's probably going to take some of your existing customer base. I find it amazing. This average blue-collar couple view their jobs and view their money as a tool to be used by God for the ministry. I mean, God's ministry usually requires money. It doesn't always require money, but it does sometimes require money. And Priscilla and Aquila use the money they receive from their business to promote the work of the gospel. And they're generous with their stuff. To the point where I believe they give part of their business, some of their client list. They say, all right, come with us and you can work with us and we'll share this profit. I think it's a pretty amazing move that they do towards this new preacher guy in town. And by the way, we've seen this kind of generosity all over the book of Acts from ordinary folks. For example, Acts chapter 2, it says this, all the believers. And so yes, that means the Apostle Paul, but it also means ordinary folks who worked 50 hours a week in the factory, making $14 an hour. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Again, extraordinary sacrifices by ordinary people, investing into God and the things God is doing into others. Which I think does beg the question, what about us, right? What are we pursuing? And here in Acts chapter 18, Priscilla and Aquila use their job, they use their resources to advance the work of God. So it's great. Great, Keith. They drop some money in the offering box. Is this going to be a tithing sermon? No. Because honestly, they do a lot more than just give money to the church. They do a lot more. Jump down to verse 24. You read more about this gal and this guy. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, by the way, Apollos is another preacher guy, okay? He's another preacher guy coming to town. You're going to see this. He came to Ephesus, and he was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor, and he taught about Jesus accurately, although he only knew of the baptism of John, but he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. In other words, Apollos is one of these preacher-type guys, right? He's a seminary-trained preacher guy. He knows a lot about God. He can draw a crowd because he's got the gift of gab. People give him a microphone, and he stands up in front of people, right? He talks with great passion. This is the seminary guy trained on the stage, right? I know, a little awkward for me to say that. And then here comes the blue-collar town folk into the picture. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited this gifted preacher Apollos to their home. This is so funny. And explained to him the way of God more accurately. The leather workers take aside the seminary-trained professor, preacher, to make some corrections in his theology. Am I the only one amazed by this? The educated man, eloquent in speech, versed in scripture, with a seminary degree, accomplished in religion, enthusiastic in spirit, a bold proclaimer of the gospel. Then you have this blue-collar couple, Priscilla and Aquila. You got to picture this. Apollos has just finished a successful preaching engagement. He's been bold. There's way to go, preacher. Amen. And this blue-collar couple say, hey, you want to come to dinner? Hey, when you were speaking, I think you missed something. Can we just speak into you a little bit, some theology, maybe some correction? Now, it doesn't seem like they needed permission from the pastor to do this. It says they invited him to their home. They didn't say they sought the Apostle Paul's approval first. No, they kind of just took the guy aside, invited him to dinner. They're not ordained. They don't have official title. They just were empowered. They were empowered to take this powerful preacher aside and explain the work of God more adequately. They explain, Apollos, your ministry, your theology is lacking. Can we speak into you? Now, by the way, I think you have to make an assumption here. They probably themselves have spent a lot of time already studying theology, right? I don't think someone like that just goes, oh, epiphany came from the Holy Spirit I didn't know before and just it downloaded in my brain and now I share it with Apollos. No, it means they had been pursuing things of theology, right? They themselves had been pursuing things of the Scripture and things of Jesus. It means they must have invested a good amount of their own time into learning things, learning what it means to follow Christ, learning the things of theology. They probably pursued that more than the final episode of Ted Lasso on Apple TV, you know? I mean, really, we pursue so many things. I think Priscilla and Aquila are pursuing other things that make them so powerful. They have clearly made investments to become biblically literate. They're well-versed in the things of God intellectually. And again, they work the machine shop. They work the machine shop. There's so much investment in their own brain, their own knowledge, that they can take aside this gifted seminary-trained preacher and give him correction. Isn't that amazing? By the way, I will point out that Apollos is willing to listen. Most people don't handle criticism well, right? And most theologically trained preachers, like me, would probably be a little put off by a machine shop third shift punch press worker saying, hey, Keith, I know you have a master's from Bethel College. Can I point some things out? I mean, I assume the natural response would be, oh, sure, whatever. But Apollos, thankfully, is able to receive what Priscilla and Aquila have to say. There's some humility. He doesn't look down on them. In fact, I think he looks up to them because he yields to them. He's open to anyone and everyone being used by God. It's amazing. Apollos realizes there's always more to learn. There's always more to grow. And he realizes that often the power in the church isn't from the pulpit, it's from the pews. And I really believe that. I really do. The power in this church is not from the seminary trained Andrew Gates, which you have power, Andrew, yada, yada, yada. But like the power is you all, and you all online gathering with us. And I'm telling you, folks, the result of this average blue-collar folks doing the work of God, it changed the world. Today's passage, verse 27, goes on to this. It says, Apollos proved to be of great benefit to those who by God's grace had believed. So thankfully, God does use people like Andrew and I, right? But often we need correction and leadership from folks like Priscilla and Aquila. Ministry directly empowered and grown and guided by average blue-collar, tent-making, leather-working, machine shop, hands-getting-dirty kind of people who love Jesus, who pursue biblical literacy, who pursue theology, who pursue knowledge of the things of God, and they're willing to take a young man with some promise and speak into his life. My spiritual father, actually, the person who led me to Christ as an architect in the West Coast right now. And then my spiritual father is a guy named Peter Kabasek. Peter Kabasek has an MBA, no ministry degree, no seminary training. He runs a little business, and every Saturday morning in college for 5 years, we would walk his dog and two kids, and he would invest in me. My spiritual father is not one of my professors from Bethel. It's not one of my full-time ministry people from Navigators or Young Life who've invested in me, although they were great. My spiritual father in the faith is Peter Kabasek, who invested in me. Like, he's my spiritual dad. In the same way, I think Priscilla and Aquila are in many ways like a spiritual parents to Apollos. Their vision goes beyond a tidy home and nice kids and a comfortable apartment. They're used by God, and they walk alongside with arguably the greatest missionary ever, and then they invest in Apollos, a pretty great dynamic preacher. And again, they're not trained in a seminary, no. But God uses them in amazing ways. And this is just amazing. And friends, this is for you. Friends, this is for you. I see that kind of ministry potential in each one of us in this room. I think the future of Riverside and the impact we're going to have on this city and on this world, it will not be led by Apostle Paul types or Apollo types. I just don't think it'll be led. In fact, I read Ephesians 4, and I think actually it's not even our role in some aspect, but I won't get ahead of myself. And it won't be led by Pastor Keith or by Pastor Andrew. We have our roles, but I think this ministry that we are a part of, this family of faith that we are together, will be sustained and catapulted by Brian Biggers, who works as a veterinarian, is also a light of the gospel to the world in the process. Or Kristen Halbold, who teaches computer science as well as she teaches and demonstrates what the gospel looks like in a classroom. Or Wade Stoller. Where's Wade? Wade, who's retired now. Oh, there you are, Wade in the back. He's retired now, but he's still giving his life to ministry even after, you know, he's retiring from his job. He's working more now probably than ever before. Or think about Matthew in the back, who cooks for men and women who are homeless, which is a ministry in and of itself, but also writes beautiful poetry. An amazing music that like speaks to the heart of God more than any preacher could give in a sermon. You want to learn about the love of God, don't listen to me. Listen to some of his poems. It'll move you. Or think about David Hipskin, who turns wrenches on jet engines, but also has challenged me as a lead pastor to be more thorough in my reading. Some of the stuff that David's giving me to read, I'm going, ooh, I have to read that a second time to understand that. He speaks into me. Or people like Brooklyn who are leading us in worship. This morning, a student leading us in worship. You see, God does amazing things through us, through you all, leading the church like Priscilla and Aquila in Acts chapter 18. It's amazing. By the way, they also come up elsewhere in Scripture. This is not the only place we see Priscilla and Aquila. Go to Romans chapter 16. It's another way, another place we see them. Later, Paul writes this in verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Like, say hi to them. He's sending a letter to the Roman churches to say, hey. Say hi to Priscilla and Aquila, because they're my co-workers in Christ Jesus. And by the way, they're not just co-workers. They risked their lives for me. They also risked their lives for me, but also for the churches of the Gentiles. And we're all grateful to them. By the way, there's also a church that meets in their house. So say hi to that church as well. So, again, this blue-collar tent-making team, clearly they're driven by so much more than comfort or entertainment or nice kids, right? They are. I mean, they're so driven by God and driven by God's mission that arguably the greatest missionary ever, the Apostle Paul. I mean, secular historians say that Jesus is the most influential person ever, and secular historians will say Apostle Paul is the second most influential person ever. Like, secular historians say this. Paul calls Priscilla and Aquila his co-workers. And by the way, he doesn't say co-workers in tent making. He says co-workers in the ministry. Do you see that? The co-workers in the ministry. Co-workers are seeing the kingdom of God expand. And what made them so reliable to the Apostle Paul? Well, verse 4, they risked their lives for Paul. Would you say that anyone who's willing to sacrifice to the point where they risk their lives for someone, you can probably trust them? You can probably trust them with the kind of ministry that makes a difference? And if you're willing to risk your life for someone else, you're probably not all that compelled by pursuing comfort of the world, right, or things of entertainment. If you're willing to risk your life for the gospel, you're probably not pursuing the latest gadget or just coasting through life. And on top of helping Paul out, they start a house church. They start a church in their house. Both Romans and 1 Corinthians, Paul refers to the church that meets in their home. You see, they're not just Sunday morning Christians that come and make the preacher feel good that the room is filled. And they don't just put a couple bucks in the offering box, although thank you for putting a couple bucks in the offering box. But they're not, that's not all they do. They like, their ministry is investing in Apollos, and their ministry is to host a church in their own house. In other words, they teach people the gospel. They're baptizing people, and they're praying with people, and they're leading people together. And I can't stress this enough. I know I sound like a broken record. Okay? I know I sound like a broken record. But I can't stress this enough. They are everyday, blue-collar, down-to-earth, town folk, leather workers that work with their hands, kind of people. Like you. Like me. Well, not like me, like you. I'm more of an Apollos. It probably is more correction and guidance from people like you all. I just wonder for our church. I mean, for us. Those of you who are single, those of you who are still in school, those of you who are mid-level management, those of you who've been married for 20 years and you're in a routine, folks of you who work in a tool shop or in a classroom or in an HVAC company or in marketing or in food service, I mean, I wonder what kind of impact could our church have if we all viewed ministry? It's like each of our jobs. What if Priscilla and Aquila were the norm in the church? I mean, the Apostle Paul, whatever. But what if Priscilla and Aquila were the norms? What if that was more normative at Riverside? Can you imagine? Well, I can, because some of you are very much like this. I just wonder, if Priscilla and Aquila were our examples, each of us would pursue biblical knowledge, really pursue knowing God's word to the point where you could take the preacher aside, probably a little bit more. I think continuing to learn from Priscilla and Aquila would certainly mean being willing to focus and invest more in others. You could do that here in our kids' ministry. You can invest in the next generation growing in the gospel here. You can do it with our kids' ministry, with our student ministries, with our home groups, It was fun today as we were setting up this building for this today's meeting. There was a meeting in the room over there. I didn't know the meeting was happening until I walked by. It was our Angel Tree kickoff meeting. Leaders in our church leading, who are going to lead our Christmas ministry, Angel Tree, where we buy presents for kids whose parents are in prison. And guess what? No staff member was in there. I didn't even know it was happening. Probably because I didn't check my email. Lisa, you probably emailed me. I just didn't check my email. My bad. But you know, like, that ministry is not led by us. You already heard how Lynn Joyce is starting a ministry for folks who've been homeless, who are homeless, giving them toiletries and sharing the things of love from them. That's why we have a thing in the back, toiletries for the homeless. She started that. And Andrew and I, we support her. But in many ways, I think like we almost like work for her in that capacity. Lynn Joyce, what's your vision? How can we support you? What do you need from us? Tell us what to do. I really believe that. And friends, I'm telling you, the bottom line is Priscilla and Aquila were not the exceptions in the church. They're not the superstar married couple. No, they're the blue collar. I know I'm a broken record. They're the average people, the blue collar, the non-seminary trained people who have extraordinary lives for God. And that's the norm for us, for you. Friends, what do you prioritize? If you live this next year like you've lived the last month, in 10 years from now, are you going to feel like you've had great success in your life? Will you? Maybe. Some of you, absolutely. I mean, some of you, I'm just blown away by how you live your lives. But what's success look like in the next 10 years for you? What are you pursuing now? And then pause. Just pause and maybe just listen to the words of Christ. Don't listen to the words of a repetitive preacher. Listen to the words of Jesus who said this, but store up for yourselves, not treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. I mean, can you imagine what our city would look like if each of us started living our lives like this ordinary folks from Acts 18, these leather workers? I mean, it's my prayer that folks like Pastor Andrew and I would become less in this church, and that you all would become more the leaders and more the front lines, one saying, here's where we're going. Because I think it's better for the church. I really do. I believe all my heart is better for the church to have us all doing the ministry together. And while I've pointed a lot to Priscilla and Aquila today, I've pointed a lot to them, we have to remember they're modeling their lives after Jesus, right? So yes, I'm calling us to model our lives somewhat after Priscilla and Aquila, but let's not forget they're modeling their lives after Jesus, who could have led in just great, triumphal, king-like power, but instead he's born in a stable and he lives a humble life and he works as a carpenter. As a carpenter he works 30 years. So he's 30 at least. And then he lives a life that he ends up getting marginalized at the end. He gets killed at the end. He doesn't end with a great sermon to 5,000 people. He ends with people leaving him and deserting him. Priscilla and Aquila model their life after that. And this morning, as we celebrate communion, that's what we're remembering. We're remembering him. Now, he modeled the life for us to live. Each one of us, be it a carpenter or be it a preacher.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.